Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Well, this is Shane Vanderhart. I got Brian Myers in the studio with me, and we're excited about another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. What have you been up to? You've been busy with work.
Yeah, and I tell you what, buddy, the brain is not operating on all cylinders. I had an epic fail yesterday.
How is that different than most weeks?
All right, moving right along here. No, there really is a worse here. I know that's hard for you to conceive of, but no. It's April 30th, yesterday.
Uh-huh.
My state taxes for 2014 and my first quarter deposit for 2015 are both due yesterday. They got to be postmarked yesterday, right?
Right.
So I got my checks already ahead of time. I got, you know, the paperwork and the envelope, and I'm
you thought you were, like, killing it, man.
Oh, yeah. And I pull into the post office there in Ankeny, a little drive-through box there, and I toss them in, and I'm tooling down the road, and I get about a mile, and I realize I didn't put any postage on either one of the envelopes. I mean, this is not a minor fail. This is an epic fail. Of all things to do it on, it's your tax payments, right?
Right, right.
But, hey, kudos to the folks at the Ankeny Post Office, because I go back there, tell them what an idiot I've been, and you know what? They weren't surprised, first of all.
Oh, I'm sure this happens.
Yeah.
Frequently. Yeah.
Well, they probably took one look at me and said, this guy shouldn't be loose in public. But anyway, they actually went back there and, you know, fished out everything out of the box and sorted through it, and they found those envelopes for me. I mean, when I went back there, I was coming up with an alternative plan because I thought this is never going to happen. But
right.
They made it happen. So good people at the Ankeny Post Office.
And who says, you know, there is no such thing as customer service as far as federal government's concerned.
Nope,
occasionally
I
there are
impressed.
Glimpses of that. And speaking of the federal government, we have a special guest.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was
thank you.
Nice segue.
I do have those every once in a while. We have on the line with us State Representative Ken Ivory. He's the president of the American Land Council. He was elected to the Utah House of Representatives to represent House District 47 in November of 2010. Hopefully I have that right. And he and his wife, Becky, are the parents of four children. And the reason I wanted him to come on is I had a chance to listen to his speech at the American Principles Project's Practical Federalism Conference in New Hampshire. And he's talking about an issue that I don't think we really think a whole lot about in Iowa. But it's a huge problem in the West. Welcome, Ken, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, very welcome. So, basically, did you start American Land Council, or have you just joined them, you know, later on?
You know, I passed this Transfer Public Lands Act bill in 2012, and there was a bunch of county commissioners that realized they've been playing for 2 or 3 decades, losing ground on federal control of land, water, and land use. And so they formed the American Lands Council and asked me if I put my law practice on hold and come out and be the voice of this. And kind of tells you a little bit about my IQ. But, guys, there are big opportunities and certainly big problems. But, you know, you talk about the epic fail, right? Here's an epic fail. We're burning 5 million acres of forested land a year, killing millions of animals, polluting the air, destroying the watershed and habitat for decades. And do you know what some of the fringe folks out there call that? They call that environmentalism.
Oh, wow.
And so we've got a huge opportunity to tend the forest, harvest the forest, treat the forest, you know, tend the garden, if you will, mm-hmm. and put people back to work. That's how we used to have thriving, sustainable communities and a healthy forest. Now, here's another huge epic fail. Okay, so right now, 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago did a piece on this. We cannot put a fighter jet in the air, battleship or submarine in the water, renewable energy technology, all of our electronics technology we're using right now does not function without rare earth elements. And the 60 Minutes piece said, modern life's devices in the grips of China. China cornered 90% of the market on rare earth elements. They're locked up all over the western United States. Another epic fail. We're reliant on unsavory despots around the world for energy, the master resource. And the Government Accountability Office says there's more recoverable oil than the rest of the world combined, locked up just in Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, in the federally controlled land. So federal government controls more than 50% of all land west of Kansas. They control less than 5% of the land east of Colorado, from Kansas to the east. Iowa, I think it's about 1%.
Right.
So yet Iowa used to be 90% federally controlled for decades, and you guys just rallied like states and compelled the federal government to keep the state had promised with you. We're simply trying to do the same thing today to the benefit of the whole nation.
Yeah, how did this problem start?
Well, it's kind of interesting, you know. I mean, you guys had the same battle. So back in the 1840s, 50s, Iowa, Illinois, you know, from Michigan down to Florida. In fact, Florida used to say they were the worst off of all the western states, right? Because the federal government controlled 90% of the land in Florida as well.
Hmm.
They battled together, got the federal government to keep the statehood promise, right? Equal states, constitutional equality. When you got to the west, the land was arid. It was drier. And so the federal government said, okay, we know our duty is to dispose of the land. It's going to take a little bit longer. And the states kind of rallied around in about the 1920s and 30s, just like you guys did, getting ready to get the federal government to dispose of the land. Well, then you get hit with the Great Depression and World War II. And by the time you recoil from World War II, at the federal level, they're saying, hey, this is just the way it is. You guys are different. We control your land. Mm-hmm. And so that battle's been going on ever since. Well, 2009, the United States Supreme Court, Congress does not have the authority to just unilaterally change the statehood agreement. It makes sense, right?
Right.
But Congress can't just change that. Well, so that's kind of what got this going. Hey, you got to treat us equally. I mean, the Supreme Court year before last, said the constitutional equality of the states is essential to the very harmonious operation of our republic. Our nation was and is a union of states. Equal in dignity, power, authority. Well, if you think about it, guys, I mean, you remember the NFC Championship game, right? You had Richard Sherman, defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks, incredible player.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through the game, he sticks his arm out. He gets his arm blasted by a couple of guys. And the whole rest of the game, he's just wincing in pain, right?
Right.
Well, imagine your team, instead of just one Richard Sherman in pain, you got the whole backfield, maybe some of your linebackers are one arm, maybe two arms and a leg. Well, you're going to exploit that all day long. Well,
right.
Now imagine you got 50% of the real estate. I mean, property is liberty. Property and liberty are the reason we're alive, right?
Right.
So you've got the federal government controlling 50% of the real estate in the western states. There's all kinds of exploitation that's happening. In fact, you guys in the east are paying billions of dollars a year to subsidize and cripple western communities and have the federal government, unfortunately, through analysis, paralysis, management by litigation, destroy our western landscapes and communities.
So what this bill you said you passed, and it was 2012, right, that kind of got you linked up with the American Land Council. What was that bill?
So the bill was called the Transfer of Public Lands Act, and what it did, it basically put a demand letter out to the federal government saying, hey, you got to keep the same statehood promise with Utah that you kept with all the states east of Colorado. And we put a deadline into it, December 31st of 2014, you know, like you do in a demand letter when you're trying to work something difficult out with someone. Federal government's completely ignored it. And so now the state of Utah and many other western states and, in fact, eastern states are now engaging in this because it's the only solution big enough for our nation right now. I mean, $18 trillion in debt, and we have $150 trillion in minerals locked up in the federally controlled lands.
Right.
So now you got states all over the nation getting into this where we go forward with education, negotiation, legislation, and we're preparing litigation. We've appropriated $4 million to start moving forward on the litigation front. You got folks in Congress starting to initiate legislation at the federal level, but it really is the only solution big enough for better access, better health, better productivity. I mean, right back to those basic American values of liberty, property, self-governance. And imagine that would be the solution, right? Get back
right
to the original recipe.
But isn't it at least possible that let's say, for example, that you get control back to the states of an awful lot of this land out there, and isn't it at least possible that even if that takes place, that the EPA comes in and says, well, okay, you guys, you know, we're the federal government is giving control of this land back to the states, but we're still going to control what happens there, and you guys aren't going to do all the stuff that you're talking about doing. I mean, what's to stop them from that?
Yeah, we've always got the issue of increasing federal centralization and control over, you know, the productivity and aspects of our life. But think about this. To get states just like Iowa and Missouri and Louisiana did back in the mid-1800s, you get states working as a team again. Well, that's our governing system. That's what federalism is. That was, Justice Kennedy said recently, that was our unique contribution to the world of political thought, that this kind of ironic thought that we protect liberty by dividing power among two governments, and they control each other as a double security to the rights of the people. Well, we've kind of lost those federalism muscles, those liberty and self-governance muscles. But you get states working together again, and you bring these solutions to the table where, rather than burn 5 million acres, we're actually harvesting and tending and you know, weeding the garden, if you will, and putting people to work and not polluting the air. Well, you've got states bringing solutions to the table, and the states are supposed to be. They're supposed to be the check to federal overreach.
Yeah.
And so you start working as a team. Obviously, you've got a bunch of other issues to work on, like the EPA and some of the other issues that are out there, but you start moving in the right direction with that.
Has there been any successful court cases leading up to this where you can point to some successful litigation, at least at a minor level?
Yeah, well, at a minor level, for example, back in 1911, when Oklahoma was made a state, the federal government said, you have to have your capital in Guthrie. And the Oklahomans said, we don't want our capital in Guthrie. We want it in Oklahoma City. And they put in their statehood agreement, you got to have it in Guthrie for at least 5 years. Well, they changed it within a couple of years, and the federal government sued them. The case went directly to the Supreme Court, original jurisdiction. And the court said, Congress doesn't have the authority to create anything but equal states on equal footing. Well, just recently, they've reiterated that same language that said, hey, wait a minute. This constitutional equality, the same right to authority of the states, is essential to the very operation of our system. And then, of course, you've got cases where they've said, these Enabling Act agreements are solemn compacts. Congress can't just break that. There's a right and a remedy. But the question, the actual question of does Congress have a duty under the Constitution, Article 4, is it a duty to dispose of the land based on these Enabling Acts? That question's never been asked to the Supreme Court. So that's the question we're asking. And, you know, it just makes sense. I mean, you look at the map, 50% of the West, the land is controlled by the federal government, you know, less than 5% of the East. And we're a nation built on the proposition that government exists to secure the rights of life, liberty, property. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's pretty self-evident in the way it works out. But states are moving forward all over the nation now because there's so much at stake. There's an environmental catastrophe that can be solved by simple common sense action.
Right.
You know, energy independence, national security. Well, and it just makes sense, right?
Yeah, well, just in a contrast, I mean, North Dakota, they pretty much have full control of their land, correct?
That's right. So the interesting thing is North Dakota has the exact same language in their statehood agreement as Utah, Montana, Washington. They went from 50% federally controlled land at statehood down to less than 3%.
Right.
And, you know, they're the economic miracle because they control their own land and govern themselves.
Yeah, and they're just going, you know, gangbusters until I don't know how they're doing with OPEC lowering their prices and all that, but Utah has that ability. How much of your state is actually controlled by the feds?
You know, we're about 67% federally controlled.
Wow.
Nevada is 85% federally controlled. I mean, imagine, guys, we have some counties that have 3% taxable land.
Gosh.
I mean, how do you, you know, you got to educate kids, take care of sick people, poor people, roads, public safety, no matter what happens in Washington.
Right.
With, you know, 3%, 4%, 5%, 10% taxable land. And you guys in Iowa and in the East, you're paying through federal programs called payment in lieu of taxes and what they call secure rural schools. You guys are paying billions of dollars to subsidize and cripple Western communities to not use their own lands and resources to take care of themselves.
I love America. Only here.
Wow.
So think about the position you guys play, right? You're first up in the presidential politics, right? Everybody focuses on Iowa. This is a solution, a real solution, based in liberty, property, self-governance, a real solution big enough to put us back in charge of our own economic and national security future, to halt an epic environmental catastrophe, and to restore the self-reliance and constitutional equality of states so that they can play that team ball and check federal overreach. I mean, right now, when you can be exploited, hey, the federal government divides and conquers. That's just the nature of politics throughout history. So really solution big enough. More information at American Lands Council. There's an S in there, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Sign the petition. Get in front of everybody that comes to Iowa and said, hey, where do you stand on this solution big enough? Energy independence, national security, economic security, huge issue.
Great. You mentioned that there's some bills in Congress being looked at and discussed. Do you happen to have any information about those?
You know, I don't have the exact bill numbers. I know Congressman Amadei from Nevada has introduced a couple. Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma has introduced a few bills. And then just recently, Congressman Bishop from Utah, who chairs the Natural Resources Committee, has created what they call the Federal Land Action Group, kind of a working group to start going through the history, the law, and flesh this out and get congressional hearings going. But, I mean, imagine, guys, this is the same thing. You guys already went through this, right?
Right.
Your resolutions, you were going to Congress saying, hey, we can't educate our kids, grow our economy, you're controlling all our land. You guys banded together and succeeded in compelling Congress to transfer your land in Iowa. We're working on the exact same thing, but it benefits everyone because you quit subsidizing. We open up this incredible resource that, you know, the equipment to deal with the resources in Utah may come from Iowa. The financing may come from Tennessee.
Right.
You know, the engineering may come from Texas. But when you've got $150 trillion locked up in minerals, you've got more recoverable oil than the rest of the world combined. And we're sitting dependent on China to function our military and on the Middle East for our energy. And we're burning up a renewable resource. What an opportunity.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a wonderful time to be alive.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. That was Ken Ivory with the American Lands Council. This is Shane Vanner with Brian Myers. And as you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, we'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Is God punishing me? Does he hate me? What did I do to deserve these trials? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Pain and trials are commonly assumed to be signs that you do not have peace with God. Even the famous sufferer in the Bible, Job, endured accusations from his friends that his hardships were punishment from God. Yet the Bible offers several purposes of trials in the life of a believer. One such purpose is that hard times allow us to experience the fullness of God's comfort and grace to the point that we are able to comfort others that are in affliction. The Bible says, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we are ourselves are comforted by God." If you want peace with God, give us a call at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org. That number again, 515-635-5465.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So that just part just makes it extra special when you that. So we have nothing like making our read-ins, you know, more exciting. That's what we go for here at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and I got my sidekick, my partner in crime, and, you know, next to me here, Brian Myers. And on the line, we have a very special guest, Mark McDougall. He's with the executive director. He is the executive director of Ruth Harbor. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, we're glad to have you with us.
I'm glad for you straightening out to the name of this show. You remember my slip of the tongue when we first talked, decaffeinated. Oh. He said, "Oh my goodness, that would ruin the show."
That would. That just would not stand. We can't operate decaffeinated.
That was good. Well, that's interesting. He brings that up since you haven't had any coffee.
Well,
yet today,
that's
pal.
I'm going to remedy that as soon as we're done with the segment. So. But, see, I'm usually naturally caffeinated, too, except for, well, anyway, we won't get into that.
He hasn't had any sleep, so, you know, no sleep, no coffee, bad combination for Mr. Vanderhart.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you guys about something that's pretty important in my mind, in my life, and I hope listeners will feel the same after our discussion.
Great. Well,
Mark, tell us a little bit about Ruth Harbor. I'm curious, first of all, what's behind the name?
Yeah, a lot of people ask that. They say when they call me on the phone or they call the office and I pick up the phone, they say, "Well, is Ruth there?" No, there's no Ruth. And, well, are you Mr. Harbor? Well, no, I'm not. I'm Mark, and the name Ruth Harbor did not come from a person but from an idea. The name Ruth out of the Bible that means compassion, and the word harbor, a safe place for ships, and the organization of Ruth Harbor is designed to be a compassionate, safe place for young women to come who are experiencing a pregnancy. Unplanned, unintended, puts them in a difficult spot. And for us as the church, for us as people to say, "Oh, go out and choose life. Choose life." You know, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And they say, "Okay, I choose life." We pat them on the shoulder and we say, "God bless you. Be fed and warmed. We're so glad." And then we move on to the next person we want to change their mind or convince them that they should give. But if we don't do something to let them or help them follow through with their decision for life, we've not really... We've not been the gospel to them. We've not done what we need to do to help them get to a place where they can really follow through with that decision. So Ruth Harbor has as its mission to provide shelter, home, programming, and what we call comprehensive services for young women experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. And all that means is that we step into their life wherever they are, provide what they need, and walk with them to help them back to a place where they are ready to be a little more independent, self-sufficient, or safe. So that's a thumbnail sketch of what we do.
And Mark, if I understand it correctly, you guys have been around for the better part of 15 years then?
Getting close. Not quite there, but okay, about 14, and it's been my pleasure to be a part of the organization since a year after they opened. So.
Well, so what was the genesis of this? How did this work come into existence?
Well, it's all God's fingerprints and thumbprints all over it. It's really, really cool because there are three women who founded Ruth Harbor. All three of them felt God's call to do this separately. Only when he brought them together and they learned about one another did they find out that they'd all been called to the same thing and that he was leading them together. So it's a great story, one that we don't have time for me to tell in detail, but these three women would never call themselves prepared or called before this moment to do such a thing. None of them had an unplanned pregnancy. None of them were experienced in nonprofits or boards or starting new things, but they did have a desire to obey and follow God, and when he said, "This is what I'd like you to do," they were smart enough to say yes, because otherwise, they say, God would have gone and given someone else the blessing. And so in about late 1996 is when those events happened, and they went about forming a board, finding property, hiring an executive director, getting things rolling, and in very close to Mother's Day, and that's intended, in 2001 was when Ruth Harbor accepted its first resident to house and to help.
Great. So how many women do you think you've served over the last, you know, almost 15
years?
Oh,
you know what? You'd think I'd be prepared for an interview like this and be able to say that right off the top of my tongue. I know it's well over 100. I can't tell you the exact number. We can serve up to six women at the same time. We very seldom are completely full, and I can get into why that is, but we typically, you know, for the last 4 years or so, we've been serving young women continuously. There was a time where we didn't serve women for about a month or two when we were transferring to new house parents or something.
Right.
But we're blessed to have, I think we've got three with us today, right now, as I speak. And we're interviewing a couple of more who have interest, and we'll see if God opens the door for us to invite them in as well.
So, Mark, is three an average occupancy, you might say?
Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you get your referrals?
Boy, they come from all over the place. The medical world, the counseling world, pastors, assistant pastors, youth ministers and pastors. We get referrals from social service agencies. And now I'm going to work my way up here. And the top two that we experience for referrals are from area pregnancy help centers, who obviously are meeting these young women, and in the moment they're finding out they're pregnant. They understand that there's a need for them, but they can't follow through on giving life because they believe they are or have been kicked out of their home, or there's animosity between them and the birth father, between them and their parents, etc. So they meet a lot of times with folks who are helping them counsel and move through this decision, and then they say, well, Ruth Harbor could help you in that. The other area, in the day and age in which we live, these young women simply Google and say, unplanned pregnancy, need help and shelter, and we'll get an email. And we strike up a phone conversation, and they advocate for themselves, and we begin the conversation. Yeah.
Great. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have Mark McDougall of Ruth Harbor on the line with us. Mark, what would a typical day look like for a young lady that's in your program?
One of the main things that the young women are given as a baseline thing, each of them have a care plan that we designed specifically and uniquely for them. But for many of them, the unique the pieces are a lot the same in that foundational stuff, and that's going to be, first of all, education. If they don't have their high school education, we're going to help them with that, either complete it or get a GED. So that's number one, and after that is probably going to be a job. Sometimes it's continuing education into a field, but a lot of times it's getting job, beginning the process of setting themselves up financially. So with that in mind, most of the young women are going to get up, going to care for some of their personal responsibilities around the house, find a bite to eat, and be off to school or work. They're going to come rolling back in late afternoon, and there's going to be time for homework, some other things that they might need to do on their own, setting appointments, doctor's appointments, communicating. Then we have most evenings a family dinner. It's an opportunity for them to not only work on life skills with menu planning, meal preparation, and all those kinds of things, but most of them have not experienced family. So the opportunity to sit down and have a meal, to understand what it's like to pass food around the table, to interact around the table, completely new for them.
Yeah.
So they'll be involved in that, and then after dinner, at least three or four times a week, sometimes more, there'll be some type of key spiritual conversation. You might call it devotions, we might call it family time, but there'll be something that's uniquely there to talk about a particular issue or and it's our opportunity then to model and to bring Christ into their lives and into the conversation. Then, of course, there's homework TV, some relaxing time. Right. They get caught up on phone calls with people they need to make. And we usually, young women who are pregnant, and you don't really have to say it's time to go to bed. They're looking to get there because they're tired.
I suppose.
They're very, very busy. They have a lot of programming that we do on top of what they're doing outside of the home. Weekends are a little bit different with church and with some duties around the house. Does that give you a
Oh, yeah, deal? That gives us a pretty good picture. What I want to ask you one question. I want to leave time to talk about what an event you got coming up. What happens after they give birth?
Oh, that's a great question. First of all, their care plan sets them up all the way up through birth, and including a birthing plan. We talk, of course, one thing we haven't even discussed is the important decision that they will make that's life-changing. Will they parent or will they choose to parent by placing
right.
the child with someone who can, because
right.
maybe they are not able to? Getting education, information in their hands so that they can make a solid decision for future health, emotionally and otherwise, and for the child is just number one. So that all takes place as we get closer to the end of their stay. We get an aftercare plan set up, which is, here's what I will do after the baby is born. It might be another program that they're going to enter, Job Corps or Freedom for Youth or other place where they might go. It might be their own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a host home. Families in our community who simply say, hey, we would like to help this young lady and or her child for the next 6 weeks or 6 months until she's ready to be on her own. So that's how we work right now. But we are understanding and see the need in our community that an unplanned pregnancy does indeed often last more than 9 months.
Right.
They are not ready to get back on their feet. And so even, you know, there's financial concerns, there are parenting skills. So
speaking of financial concerns, I want to make sure we have time to talk about your event.
You obviously
are a nonprofit, therefore you are dependent upon people's generosity and you know, donations. What do you have coming up that's going to help with that mission?
Mark, we've got about 2 minutes left, so you got to make this quick.
Okay. Hey, we've got the Walk for Life that's coming up. It's a very simple way for people to engage and be a part of our mission. And all they need to do to be a part of our walk is to understand that they can register on our website, which is roofharbor.org. And when they do register, they can then become a sponsored walker and invite other people into this conversation I've just had with you
mm-hmm.
and say this is what they do. And to be of help, they can go online and support them financially. And when they do that, it raises awareness.
Right, and that's Saturday, May 9th, mm-hmm. 2015.
Right.
And starts at 9:30, correct?
9:30 at the Embassy Suites downtown Des Moines.
And this is a new location for you,
isn't it? It is a new location this year. And the walk is a social event, and we love to have people. There'll be a couple hundred people there to walk and to meet. And it's a short walk. Bring strollers, bring wheelchairs, wagons. We want people to enjoy it. And hopefully we'll have a nice day out there.
Right. And if somebody can't participate in that, how can they support your ministry?
Exactly the same way. They can. Of course, anybody can always donate dollars. That's always welcome. But they can, if they want to sign up for the walk and walk on their own in their own community, or maybe it's rainy that day and they don't want to get out in the weather, go ahead and walk on their own and still follow through with getting some folks to support them.
Great. And they can just write you a check, too, right?
Oh, yes.
you take those?
or online, you know, credit card payment. I know
exactly.
So you do PayPal, right?
Yeah, if they go to roofharbor.org, there's a place where they can donate directly. And, of course, we welcome that, too.
Great. Mark, I so appreciate the ministry that you're doing. I remember seeing you. I don't think I actually ever had a chance to refer kids your way when I worked with Serve Our Youth Network, but I knew you were always there if I had that need. So I appreciate it. Thank you. That was Mark McDougall with Ruth Harbor. Check out ruthharbor.org. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a little bit.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America.
When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Is God punishing me? Does he hate me? What did I do to deserve these trials? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Pain and trials are commonly assumed to be signs that you do not have peace with God. Even the famous sufferer in the Bible, Job, endured accusations from his friends that his hardships were punishment from God. Yet the Bible offers several purposes of trials in the life of a believer. One such purpose is that hard times allow us to experience the fullness of God's comfort and grace to the point that we are able to comfort others that are in affliction. The Bible says, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we are ourselves are comforted by God." If you want peace with God, give us a call at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org. That number again, 515-635-5465.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Welcome back. We just are doing our news rundown now. We had a couple great interviews, but we wanted to take a look at some of the news. And President Obama had an interesting interview this week. He was doing a kind of a virtual simulcast, I believe, through Discovery Education, and his interviewer was a middle school student. So anyway, President Obama, he participated in this virtual field trip in Washington, D.C., and the middle school students, Osman, I love his last name, Yahya. 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 I can't think of how else you'd say it. But anyway, he was bringing up a viewer-submitted question about how the president gets rid of writer's block. And he first asked the president, "Can you define what writer's block is?" And Obama began explaining what writer's block was, and he suggested that the best way to beat it was to start writing things down. And as Obama went on, this young man's attention began to wane, and he started shifting in his seat.
Obama lost his audience.
Obama's answer went on as he talked about experiencing writer's block when he wrote some of his speeches. He rambled for more than 3 minutes before Mr. Yahya politely intervened. We got a clip of this.
Listen, even the best writers, usually it's not that good the first time they write it.
Yeah, and I think you sort of covered everything about that question.
Okay, you think I've just kind of... Usman thinks I've been talking too long.
No, I think you just...
No, well, let's move it along. I got you.
That's great. That's great. Sorry about the little email notification beep you heard in that, too. But
so the president got the message.
Hey.
Cut her short, Mr.
Yeah,
president.
Yes, yes. Come on. Come on. You've lost me already. I'm a middle school student.
And well, this was for a second grader. So if a sixth grader is having a hard time paying attention, the second grader is probably already like, you know, on to something else. Watch it looking out the window or something. I mean, just, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. Simple, short, succinct answers. Especially
coming from a politician.
I know. He needs to remember who is.
Doesn't add up.
Well, the first thing with all politics is know your audience, right? You know, so if you're talking to a bunch of kids, you can't talk to them. I mean, obviously, yes, talk to them like an adult, but you can't quite, you know, talk to them as long as you would an adult. Even adults have, you know, they have limits on their attention span, too.
Well, this second item is not quite so lighthearted, is it?
No, it's not. No. Valley students questioned Dowling's use of football stadium. As our listeners probably remember, Dowling made a decision not to hire a openly gay teacher. The person was already subbing with them. And there's some other things he does with them, and he still does, I believe, that, you know, make it's kind of, you know, wow, what in the world's going on? But the primary thing is they decided not to hire him because
on a full-time basis
because they discovered via social media that he was not only gay, but he was also engaged and was going to be married.
This is Dowling Catholic High School
because this goes against the tenets of the Catholic Church. Anyway, these Valley students, something people need to understand too, Dowling does not have its own football stadium. It doesn't have a lot of different facilities. It's had an agreement with Valley High School and the West Des Moines Community School District for years. Years they've had this partnership, and it's gone pretty well. But anyway, outraged by Dowling Catholic High School's decision not to hire a gay substitute teacher full-time, students of Valley High School are asking West Des Moines school board members to reconsider how they rent a football stadium the private school uses. Valley students say there's a loophole in the district's non-discrimination policy, which includes protections for sexual orientation and gender identity, but is not required of individuals or organizations that rent the district's facilities. Monday's students presented a petition signed by nearly 230 students and community leaders to revise the policy and require renters to sign an agreement that would abide by the district's non-discrimination policy in their organization. First off, I want to point out the 230 people out of the Valley student population is a drop in the bucket.
Absolutely.
Right? So these people should not really be listened to, frankly, if they can only get 230 people to sign. But these kids, and I'm going to assume most of them are kids, I don't know if some parents signed on, but they obviously need to sit down, and this is a good teaching moment, I think. You guys need to understand the Constitution. You cannot, when it comes to sexual orientation and gender identity, that is in conflict with biblical teaching. It's not about discrimination. It's about not condoning sin. And there are probably other things that Dowling Catholic would also, and other Christian schools, and frankly, churches, because this goes beyond just Dowling Catholic.
Well, this is a private school, first of all.
Right.
This is a private school. This is a religious private school.
Right.
This ought to be a no-brainer.
And the Civil Rights Code says they can hire and fire and not hire based on specifically it lists Christian schools and churches, okay? Based on sexual, they can supposedly discriminate, even though they're not discriminating. It's just this person is not in line with their mission.
You have to define the word discriminate.
Right, I mean, right. You
know, but anyway.
But here's the thing. There are a lot of churches, at least there. I know the church I used to attend in West Des Moines when I lived out there, Valley Church started renting facilities. That's where they got their start before they built their building. Yep. There are a number of churches that use West Des Moines Community School buildings. So this impacts more than just Dowling Catholic High School if this policy is changed. Also could impact any organization around caucus time, I know West Valley High School is used by the Republican Party of Iowa. Are we going to not, you know, technically the Republican Party of Iowa, some could say, did they really discriminate, you know, I don't know if they would necessarily not hire a a homosexual. I'm sure they probably would.
Well, look, the left has been very successful now in getting this idea out there that anybody who, I'm going to use the word discriminate again, in quotes, anybody who discriminates must be punished, okay? And again, discriminates, that word needs to be defined in particular in a situation like this, because, you know, what does that mean? We can discriminate in a lot of ways in a private religious institution.
Right.
Your parents, not just anybody, can send their kids to a private religious school.
Right.
This goes back, you know, for, I don't know, ever since Des Moines Christian started, I think you had to sign a statement of faith.
Right, because, not in Irish schools that way, but Des Moines Christian, both parents have to be professing Christians.
So if you want to use the word discrimination in a broader context, it's been going on for a long, long time as part of the identity of a religious institution.
And I don't like the word discrimination. This is all about association.
But we got to punish these people. Punish them.
We have the right to associate. If I were a church, I shouldn't. If I wanted to rent West Des Moines facilities, I shouldn't be required to hire a gay staff member who's living a lifestyle that's openly contradictory to biblical teaching. Now, on the flip side, I also wouldn't hire somebody who's has a live-in girlfriend either. I'm equal opportunity that way, I guess.
That's right.
Or somebody who, is a known liar and continues to lie. And there's a whole host of things. Somebody who's living in unrepentant sin, basically, would not be qualified to. Now, obviously, we're all sinners, but there's one thing, sinning, and there's quite another living a lifestyle where you're celebrating
things,
it.
These things are all covered under the free exercise clause.
Absolutely.
Okay? I mean, This is not evil.
No. And this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Is God punishing me? Does he hate me? What did I do to deserve these trials? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Pain and trials are commonly assumed to be signs that you do not have peace with God. Even the famous sufferer in the Bible, Job, endured accusations from his friends that his hardships were punishment from God. Yet the Bible offers several purposes of trials in the life of a believer. One such purpose is that hard times allow us to experience the fullness of God's comfort and grace to the point that we are able to comfort others that are in affliction. The Bible says, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." If you want peace with God, give us a call at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org. That number again, 515-635-5465.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhurst, Brian Myers, and then we're wrapping things up, and this has been a great show. It's gone fast. And first of all, to open up our last segment here, I just want to give a shout-out to Iowa's Brandon Schreff. Congratulations. He was the number 5 pick in the NFL draft. Certainly went faster than the offensive tackle thought he would definitely go. I mean, Iowa's been known for sending offensive linemen onto the NFL, and they do quite well there. I hope we can rebuild, because I'm a little leery about the next couple
of course,
seasons.
I'm hoping you don't.
Yeah, but. Well, anyway, so.
No, that is a big honor. I mean, anytime you're a first-rounder, that's a big deal, but
number 5.
Top 5? Wow.
Yeah, and obviously, and he's going to the Washington Redskins, or whatever they're going to end up being called. If they continue to get pressure from
there's
the DC
a whole
elite.
Hey, we could have a show on that.
Right, you right, know? Right.
You can't call them the Redskins.
I'm a racist.
You bigot, racist, yeah. Something or other. I don't know.
Oh, anyway.
All right. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this is in Jerusalem, according to UPI. April 30th. Security cameras at an Israeli gas station recorded the moment a woman set a man's fuel tank on fire when he refused to give her a cigarette.
Gosh.
The footage recorded Tuesday at the Paz Gas...
I think Brian just noticed that.
I hadn't seen that. The Paz Gas Station in Jerusalem, PAZ, Paz Gas Station in Jerusalem shows the woman approach the man while he was pumping gas into his vehicle and have a brief conversation before walking away and quickly returning with a lighter, which she uses to ignite the man's fuel tank. The flames were extinguished by gas station employees. The man said he's familiar with the woman, and she's often seen asking for change in the area. He said the woman was angry because he refused to give her a cigarette. I told investigators I feel sorry for her because it seems she was in serious distress. She approached me asking for something, but I couldn't understand her, the man told the news site Net. The woman was arrested by police, who said she denied starting the fire. A man identified as the woman's father said the suspect is mentally unstable.
That's a given.
Hello? Really?
Wow.
Huh. The moral of the story here is that if you're at the Paz Gas station,
have a couple cigarettes you can lend to people.
Yeah,
do
not turn down the random person who wants a smoke. Make sure you have your cigarettes handy to hand off to these folks, because you don't want them to light your gas tank on fire.
That's just amazing they were able to get that extinguished. I'm just thinking how disaster that
exactly.
Could have been.
I wondered about that, too. She lights the dude's gas tank on fire, and they manage to get it put out. I'm pretty impressed with that.
I'm just wondering.
I got to go to the Paz Gas station. That's what I got to do.
I'm just wondering, did she stick around? Because obviously we're not getting the full story. Did she stick around and watch? Was she like right next to the car saying, oh, I wonder what's going to happen? You know? I mean, if that were me, not that I would light somebody's car or fuel tank on fire, but I would be running the opposite direction,
I'm sure the lady has a lot of serious difficulties, but I mean, wow, what a story.
That is that's crazy.
And I think he would have given, sounds like he would have given her a cigarette, but he didn't seem to understand what she was asking him for, right?
Right, right. So
she asked for something, but I couldn't understand her. Okay,
Provided he had a cigarette. I mean, yeah. Anyway.
Well, the moral of the story is we need to have a couple for the random person that... Anyway.
Spare your fuel tank.
Our quote of the day is from Leonard Ravenhill. A man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge, but he prays because his soul is hungry for God.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. See you next week.
Take care, everybody.